Today, I would like to talk about patience. I'm sure that all of you have heard your fair share of quotes, such as, one step at a time, haste makes waste, and don't put the cart before the horse. When someone in our family gets impatient with my sister, she likes to say, patience is a virtue, let us be virtuous, to try to add a humorous attitude to the situation. And although that does seem to ease the mood, I know for me, impatience is a real problem, and one that I struggle with too often, especially when it comes to my family. In a society that promotes getting what you want as soon as you want it, patience is a hard thing to have, since everything you could possibly want is just a click away. This morning, I would like to take a step back and refocus on the great importance of patience. Patience is defined as quiet, steady perseverance, the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. It means doing your very best to not make a fuss when you have to wait for something, whether it be the cookies you have in the oven, the person in front of you at Walmart, or the fish that just doesn't want to bite your hook. The book of James has several verses that remind us of the joy that can be found in waiting, such as in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It sounds so simple. Just be patient and you will be complete. Much easier said than done. Chapter 5, verse 7 through 8 says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Like the farmer with his crops, we know the rewards that will eventually come our way, if we'll just be patient and wait. Last year, my dad planted dill for the first time and went so excited to see how it would do because he'd never planted it before. Well, I mistook the tiny little dill plants for weeds, and I pulled up all of them. So needless to say, his patience did get tested because he had to wait for the second crop to actually make something. When we think of impatience, we usually think of something that got broken because we were in a hurry, or an opportunity that was missed because we were just too busy. But actually, impatience is a much deeper subject. The Bible gives us many examples of the severity of impatience, such as in Genesis chapter 16, when Sarah got tired of waiting for a child. And as such, Ishmael was born, and conflict was created in her household, especially when the promised son Isaac finally did arrive. In 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 9, we read of Saul and his rush sacrifice. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And because of his impatience, Saul lost his kingdom, the favor of his citizens, and the pleasure of the Lord. Although impatience probably won't cause us to lose an earthly kingdom, it probably could cost us a friendship, a family member, or our reputation. People will feel that we are unapproachable since we are so impatient for them to finish their conversation, help them to complete a task, or do a favor for them. Ecclesiastes 7:8 reminds us that better is the end of a thing than the beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. When it comes to completing a task, there is nothing better than finally being done with it. But we will never know that satisfaction if we give up and quit halfway. William Faulkner once said, and sure enough, even waiting will end if you can just wait long enough. Whether it be while we are still alive or not, there will be no greater joy than that of the day of the Lord's coming, and knowing that we waited both patiently and eagerly. Isaiah 25:9 says, it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Any waiting that we've had to do here on earth will seem like nothing when we're finally living in eternity. That is not to say that we're never going to be impatient, because having patience is probably one of the hardest things to do. Even people like Moses lost their patience multiple times. When he came off the mountain and saw the people singing and dancing, Moses broke the stone tablets and had to carve out 2 new ones. He also struck the rock instead of speaking to it, and as such, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. But even after receiving his sentence, Moses still continued to lead the Israelites, even though he knew that he would never enter Canaan. That must have taken some great patience to be able to deal with the same people for 40 years. And Moses was commended for it, for his leadership. He was allowed to be a part of Jesus' transfiguration and was even mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Likewise, even though Abraham didn't come up with a plan to have a son by Hagar, he was still a part of it. But Hebrews 6:13-15 informs us that God still kept his promise to Abraham. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Abraham still remains faithful to God and was rewarded for his endurance. If we will but wait on God, we will realize the wisdom and forethought that he has, and that his plan for us will go much smoother if we don't try to do it our own way because we're being impatient. Our greatest example of patience comes from our Heavenly Father himself. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God has been patient with mankind since the creation, ever since Adam and Eve messed up his perfect plan. But that is not to say that he hasn't dealt out judgment, like with the flood of Noah's day, where only 8 people were allowed to survive. Perhaps his greatest long-suffering was with the nations of Israel and Judah and their repetitive cycles of good and evil. For us, it may seem like God waits too long to do something, or that maybe sometimes he doesn't give us enough time, but he always has a plan. Even when it doesn't seem like he is listening, he really is. He's just waiting for the right time to answer and for us to have the right attitude about waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Psalm 40, verse 1. If we follow our Lord's example of patience, it will be much easier for us to be patient with other people, even though that can be really, really, really hard to do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. As the Apostle Paul spoke of in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Even though we might have patience, we cannot have this bond of peace unless we have love for one another, like in 1 Corinthians 13:4, where we're reminded that love is patient. And there is no greater love than that of Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12:2. If Jesus could patiently suffer ridicule, beatings, humiliation, and a crucifixion, surely we can patiently wait on our brothers and sisters in Christ. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, 9-10. Of all people, we should be most patient with our Christian family. And considering all that Christ went through, surely we can even endure a little persecution now and then. For what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2, 20-21. We've been given an example of how to be patient in tribulation, and a perfect example at that. We would be wise to follow Jesus' example. Woodrow Wilson once said, "All things come to him who waits, provided he knows what he is waiting for." Do we really know what we're waiting for? Is the coming of the Lord, the end of time, when all waiting will be over and we will receive our heavenly home, where our citizenship is and where we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20-21. But while we're waiting for heaven, we need to remember that we still have work to do here. We can't sit around thinking, "Oh, I'm just patiently waiting for God." We have souls to lead to Christ, Bible classes to teach, children to train, and families to love, and a creator to worship and praise. All the while remembering to not grow weary in doing good, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. All of these actions are going to require some patience on our part, and for that patience we can look no further than our Heavenly Father. God has a plan and a reward for us, and if we will but make a conscious effort to practice patience and to wait for him and his timing, we will mount up with wings like eagles, we will run and not be weary, we will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31. Thank you.